The following podcast is from the weekly message at Summit Church in Upstate South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
And all the hosts of his chariots and his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the angel of God who was going before them, or the host of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from before them and stood behind them, coming between the host of Egypt and the host of Israel. And there was a cloud in the darkness, and it lift up the night without one coming near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back. A strong wind, east wind all night made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the people of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, the waters being a wall to them on the right hand and on the left. The Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, all Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and his horsemen. And in the morning watched the Lord in the pillar of the fire and the cloud, looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from before Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, and the water may come back over the Egyptians upon their chariots and their horsemen." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning had appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The water returned over them, the chariots and the horsemen of all the host of the Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea. Not one of them remained, but the people of Israel walked on dry ground through the sea, water being a wall to them on the right and the left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great power the Lord had used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. It's a lot. So, have you in your life ever been at a cul-de-sac? Have you ever been at a point in your life where it feels like a dead end? Like, where do I go with this? Why did God bring me to this point? Where is God at? Like, what am I doing here? In 2005, I just graduated from chiropractic school. Sarah and I had a chance to go to Kauai. We had somebody in our family that had a timeshare, said y'all could have it if you can get there. So we found a way, and we got there. And part of the reason we went, and this is a great story, you're going to love this, but part of the reason we went is that I like to surf. And this is their winter storm season, and they have something they're called Jaws, and it's just huge, massive waves that are coming in. So surfers from all over the world come to surf during January. So we were there, and Sarah, knowing me pretty well already at that point, I kind of wanted to try this, or at least attempt to. And she said, "Well, this is our vacation. If you're going to do this, let's wait to the end of the vacation. So if we have to go to the hospital, it doesn't mess up my week." So we did, and we waited to the end of the week, and I couldn't find a surfboard. They were rented out. So we found a boogie board or something like that. I don't even know what it was. But we found it, and we pull up to this beach, and it was really cool because we pull up, we see Bethany Hamilton. You remember the girl that had her arm? She was out here surfing. So that lets you know what kind of people were out here with me. So she stays in the car or by the Jeep. It's raining, and I start swimming out. So I get there. I feel good about it. And once I get out there, this guy comes up to me on a surfboard, and he says, "Hey, where are you from?" I said, "From South Carolina." And he said, "Have you ever surfed before?" I said, "Yes." He said, "In South Carolina?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Have you ever seen waves like that?" I said, "No." He said, "Do you see anybody else out here on a boogie board?" And I looked, and then immediately I panicked. Like, I started freaking out, like, because I didn't. He looked at me and said, "You're going to die." And swam off. So in that moment, I knew something was going to have to happen. You're going to have to ride a wave to get back. So I waited strategically for the smallest wave that I could find, and I took off. I rode nothing. It looked like I was falling from a 3-story building. Went straight into the water. Now, here's the key here. When you're out there, it's not like Myrtle Beach. You get on a boogie board and you fall off, you stand up. You're way over your head. Like, it's so deep. Like, so when you go in, and then a wave comes down on top of you, it gets crazy. So I got flipped upside down and truthfully did not know which way to go. Like, I didn't know which way was up or which way was down. I just knew I was running out of air. And luckily, I had tied the shoestring that was attached to the board to my wrist, and it started floating up. So I started coming back, following it up, and I'd get hit by it. It took me forever to get back to the shore. And I was embarrassed, and I said, let's get out of here. But to make a long story short, in that moment, I thought I was going to die. Like, I didn't know where to go. Well, for so many of us in life, we get to these moments where life feels like it's crushing us. We feel like we've got to a point where we don't know what to do. And what we see here in this passage this morning is a little bit of a loss of identity. These guys have been slaves their whole life. It's been 400 years, so there's nobody that knew it outside of slavery. So they were identifying themselves as slaves. It says here that they were jacked up. Like they were super excited in this moment. They were leaving. They'd seen these plagues. They'd seen the power of God, and they were on a mountain high. You go to a retreat. You go to a revival. You know how it is. You leave there. You come back. You're ready to take on hell with a water gun. And then all of a sudden, boom, life hits. Go back to work. Craziness of work, craziness of families, even bigger than that, disease, death. We hit these areas in our life, and then we stop and say, God, why have you brought us to this point? Like, where are you at? What am I doing here? Well, that's what happens here. They say, where are you? Well, a couple important things that we need to see here that happen. What they don't realize, and so many times what we don't realize, is that God strategically puts you where you're at as a child of God. And if you don't believe that, if you don't get that, it's going to be hard for God to do Exodus in your life. Like, if you don't truly believe that God is sovereign enough that in the circle where you're at, what you're going through at that time, that he's in control. When life hits like this, when a dead end hits like this, you're not going to know what to do. So they get in this position. They get to the cul-de-sac. And it's, if you look at this on a map, I was looking at it this week. It is kind of crazy because there was a much better route for them to go. Like, there was a straight shot for them to get where they were going. But God doesn't do that. Why? Because they needed the Red Sea. They needed it. They didn't really understand who they were at that point. They thought, even though they were free, they really weren't free. Because they didn't get the fact that God sovereignly had them where they needed to be. So what happens? They quickly take their focus off of God and look at everything around them. They're consumed by the circumstances of life, the fact that they have water on one side, they have the desert on the other, and an army of Egyptians are coming right after them. And what happens? What did they just experience? They just experienced God's crazy miracles with plagues. A destroyer comes in, takes the firstborn. They see all this. And then, like I said, they're on the mountaintop. But how quickly they forget. And how quickly we forget. We do the same thing. It's no different. We go through these parts of life where we get squeezed by circumstance, and we quickly take our eyes off of God, and we focus on the problem. And you say, what do you mean? Well, if I have a problem, so many of us, let's just say I have a problem with lusting, well, then I focus on the problem itself. Or I have a problem with lying. Well, I focus on the problem of lying instead of focusing on what? Jesus. Too many times we focus so much on the circumstance that we forget to focus on the answer. They had the answer right in front of them, and they lost focus. The circumstances were too big, and they had just seen it all happen. Now, God had a plan. And it's crazy because what the plan was is that he was basically baiting Pharaoh. He was baiting him. So he was taking Pharaoh and starts moving around like they have no idea, like they're lost. So Pharaoh sees this and like they're getting eaten up by the wilderness. Let's go back. I want those guys back. They're good workers. I'm gonna go get them. So he sends everybody, sends them all. It works. God knew what he was doing. Moses knew what he was doing because he tells him right here what he's going to do. But the people didn't. They didn't know what was going on until they got to the cul-de-sac. And then they cried out. And it's really cool what happens because they go back to Moses and say, okay, what have you done? Remember, they did this a couple weeks ago. Same thing happened. Moses goes in, tells Pharaoh to let my people go, and Pharaoh gets mad, and he doubles their work. And they go to Moses and say, thanks, but no thanks. You told us this was going to happen, and now look what's happened. But what you see in this story is this evolving character of Moses and how God changes him. You know, in the beginning, he kind of panics, but look how he's so cool and collected here. He says to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord. What is he telling them? Wait. Wait. Know that God's in control. Know that he's sovereign. Know that he's placed you here. But wait. We don't like to wait, do we? I don't like to wait. Like, I'm a pretty good guy, pretty patient, unless I'm driving. Like, something happens. Like, I snap. And I lose it. You can ask Sarah. But the worst thing is if I come up on let's say you're going down 85, which is most days, and it's backed up. It doesn't matter if the route to me is 20 minutes closer to stay on 85 and just wait it out. I'll go a back road because in my mind, I think it's just better for me not have to wait. So I'll go around Greenville and come back around to get where I'm going just to avoid 85. Because I don't like to wait. Or you guys, some of you do the same thing. You'll go to a restaurant and you'll go in, you'll show up, and then it's like, it's a 45-minute wait. Well, they're like, I don't want to wait. So you'll call another restaurant and they're like, it's only 30 over here. Not that it takes 30 minutes to get there. You'll still do that. Why? Because you don't want to wait. We don't like to wait. But God says, wait, stand firm. I'm before you. How does he go before him? We see it. He's all in the stories before him. He's leading him with a big cloud. Now, and fire. So in my mind, you have to think about this. You've got 3 million people are right at it. It had to be a pretty big cloud. It had to be a pretty big fire. And they're still like, where are you at? What's going on? Because it's not going the way they want it. And God says, wait. Well, the problem was is they were still slaves. They didn't realize it. But they were still slaves. They were free, but God knew something that they didn't know. He knew that if they just left, like if he just freed them and let them go, that for the rest of their lives, that in the back of their mind, they would wonder where Pharaoh was. Where are the Egyptians? Are they coming back? Are they going to come back and get us? Are they going to take us back to that place? And God knew that. So what does he do? He fixes the problem. He sets this whole thing up because he knows that they need to see that this is done. So he sets a trap. He sets a cul-de-sac. And it's amazing what happens here. The miracles just continue to come. So that big cloud that was protecting them from sunlight and leading them during the day, it flips around on the back end, and he leads them. I mean, they're all right together. So how many people, you know, you're close to 4 million people in an area. The cloud becomes darkness for the Egyptians, fog and confusion, they can't see anything. And then on the other side, it's at night, the light is leading them through. And then he does something really cool. He tells Moses, hey, Moses, I'm going to let you be a part of this. I want you to be a part of this. Raise your hands. You raise your hand, the sea's going to split. Sea splits. A wind comes in to dry it all up. Have you ever been in, not at the beach, but like fishing? Like you go fishing in areas where people aren't. When you walk in that, you don't walk. You just, you sink. You don't even realize how big this miracle was. He dried it up so all these people could walk across with all these enemies around them. And then it says, even bigger than that, so he promises them that I'm fighting for you. He tells him that. That's what he tells Moses. He says, stand still, for the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. Be still. Be still. We serve a God of promises. This whole Exodus is about promise. And every single time he says he's going to do something, he does it. Do we rest in that? They weren't at this point, but God knew what they needed. Split the sea, they came through, and it says in the morning, they got to the other side. In the morning, why was it in the morning? Because they could see what was getting ready to happen. He unleashed it, the waves came back, and they were done. And in that moment, they knew they were what? They knew they were free. They knew that they had been delivered. And that's the beauty of this story, because this same Exodus happens now. The story continues. They were slaves, just like we are slaves. To the Jew, this is what redeemed them. This was the event. This was the climax. For us, it's the cross. You know, the great thing about the story is not only in this moment, but he doesn't save them just to let them die. He continues to pursue, because they continue to forget. You know how the story goes. The next couple of weeks, we look at Mount Sinai. What happens there? You go through Deuteronomy and Numbers, and time after time, again, Joshua and Caleb, they go into the land. They send them in with the spies. Most of them come back and said, nope, the giants are bigger than our God. And they see this truth time and time again. And we do the exact same thing. We forget. So how do we not forget? I heard a preacher say, worry is where you put an explanation point where God puts a period. Isn't that what it is? We forget about this story. We forget about the truths of what's written right in front of us. And how do you do that? You got to preach it to yourself daily. Daily, you need to remind yourself of the sovereignty, the power of God, that God has He's put you in that situation, whatever it may be. Sometimes He just says you need to be still. Just wait. Let me go ahead of you. So many times we want to go ahead of God, and that never really works out too good. They were delivered. And it's a reminder. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to end with a couple things here. We're going to do something a little different today. I'm going to ask Josh if he wants to go ahead and come up. I'm going to read Psalm 77 to you guys. And we're going to read this. I want you to read it with me. If you're ever going through something, Psalms is huge. And you're going through things in life, if you just start digging into Psalms, God gives you so much comfort. But in this particular Psalms, this guy is really going, he's in a dark spot. He's in a really dark place, and you see the passion in his voice and his heart. And I'm just going to read this Psalm. It says, I cry out aloud to God, and he will hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord, and the night my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. When I remember God, I moan. When I meditate, my spirit faints. You hold my eyelids open. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I consider the days of old and the years long ago. I said, let me remember my song in the night. Let me meditate in my heart. Then my spirit will be made diligent search. Will the Lord spurn forever and never again be favorable? Has his steadfastness love forever ceased? Are his promises at an end of all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has he in his anger shut up in his compassion? Then I said, I will appeal to this to the ears of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is great like our God. You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the people. You with your arm redeem your people and the children of Jacob and Joseph. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid indeed. The deep trembled. The clouds poured out water and the skies gave forth thunder. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of the thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was the sea, your path through the great waters. Yes, your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. You know what he's doing? In the midst of a cul-de-sac, in the midst of what seemed to be a dead end, he preaches to himself. Why? Because he needed to be reminded of the truths of God. Listen, folks. This is what we need in our lives. We know what this is. We know what this means to us. But we have to remind ourselves daily of this. We're going to do something a little different this morning. I'm going to challenge you a little bit to get out your comfort zones. We did this a couple weeks last week at some of our other campuses. But in the noisiness and the craziness of life, it's so easy to forget these. So what I've done is I've stole from my children some rubber bands that are over here. And this is what I would ask you guys to do in the next few minutes. I want you to think about in your own lives, and I want you to think about four truths, okay? We wrote these down. There's four colors over there. There's a blue, there's a green, there's a white, and red. Some of them look tie-dyed. Just go with it. The blue stands for the greatness of God. God is great. So we do not have to be in control. So if the things in your life, if that's the thing that you're dealing with today, then what I want you to do is I want you to go get that blue rubber band. And you can put, if you got big fingers, you can put it on your binky. If you don't, you can put it on whatever hand you want to. And it's going to be a reminder for you. I want it to be a reminder this week. You can leave it on there forever. If it's too tight, don't do that because I don't want to be responsible for that. But I want it to be a reminder for you this week. You can stick it on. You can stick it in your car, on your turn signal, whatever. But when you see that, what I want it to be is I want you to remember God in that moment and what he is. So blue is God is great. Green, God is glorious. So we do not have to fear others. So if the thing in your life is fear of rejection, fear of people, remember that your God is bigger than that. That's the green. The white, God is good. So we do not have to look elsewhere. God, everything that happened in those moments may have seemed like they were too big, but he was good and faithful to these people. Maybe that's what you need to be remembered. Maybe that's what's going on in your life right now. Maybe you're saying, does God really love me? And the answer is yes, and he's good. And the last one is red. God is gracious, so we do not have to prove ourselves. Isn't it a great thing? For me, for most of us, the thing that we struggle with so much, or I struggle with so much, is we consistently look for acceptance outside of Jesus. We worry about what the world thinks, what we look like in comparison to the world. And we don't need to do that. His promise, his love, his greatness, his faithfulness is all we need. And it's a reminder. We need to remember it daily. Changes all of life. So when you hit the dead end, when you hit the roadblock and you say, God, why you brought me here? I brought you there because that's where I want you. I'm about to open up the sea. I want you to be a part of it. This is my story. Exodus is God's story. I just want you to be a part. so I can be glorified. In that moment, what they saw was two things. They saw their freedom. Egypt got judgment. God was glorified. Remember that. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you guys to come up. And if your color gets taken, pick another color. That's fine. But I want you to really pray about this week. Because me in my life, I need that. I need to remember it every day. When I put my feet on the floor, it changes my whole day. If that's here. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for your faithfulness. That you're a God of periods. Help us to rest in that. Lord, that when we feel like we're hitting a dead end, when circumstances seem so big, when waves are crashing on top of us, that you're bigger than all of it. You're mightier than all of it. And you love us. Lord, that you would send the ultimate lamb, the ultimate redeemer, and the cross would be a remembrance for us daily as we stand at the foot of it. We worship you and we praise you this morning. In your precious holy name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. For more information about Summit Upstate and other available resources, check out our website at summitupstate.org.